Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hi everybody. Dad, my father, Gene Abbott, my dad. I just called him. He's going to get on in just a second. So, just so you know. I'm excited about his show today. I know you guys are as well, I hope. And I'm going to double check on him now. All right, make sure that he could get in. Sometimes, you know, with technology, you have little glitches, right? And hate that when that happens. So if you guys don't mind, I'm going to call him now. Hold on one second. Call Dad. See, I have him in. Oh, here he is. There you go. No. Anyway, so he'll be here in just a second.
You're here now.
Okay, well, there you go. I saw you. Anyway, hi, Dad. I was just introducing you and said that sometimes technology things get a little stuck. And love technology, though, right? But you're here. And that's the most important thing because you got a great show planned. And tell us what we're going to talk about today, Daddy, my sweet dad. I always call him Daddy Dearest. Oh, hold on one second. Yeah. So what are we going to talk about today, Dad? You got people that are on the show, just so you know, listening in.
I want to talk about Ruth.
You going to talk about Ruth? Okay.
Ruth.
Well, cool. That's one of the greatest love stories out there. Is that what you're going to talk about, the love story, or something different? Or do I just need to wait and listen? Because I love your stories, and I love what you do.
Need to wait and listen.
Oh, okay.
Wherever you're ready.
Let's go. Okay.
All right, you're ready to go. You know, today I'm going to talk about Ruth. Who in the world is Ruth? It's a story about a lovely young lady who became the great-grandmother of King David. But before I start, what is the Bible? What is the Bible? The Bible is a collection of 66 books. That's written over a period of 1,500 years. In other words, from Genesis to the end of the Bible, there's a 1,500-year span there. And yet, it was written by 40 different people that wrote various books of the Bible. You know, some of those people were rich and some were poor. And among them were kings and poets and prophets and musicians, philosophers, farmers, teachers, priests, statesmen, sheep herder, tax collector, physician, and a couple of fishermen. What a collection of people, all different modes and stages of their life. How could a book be written? 66 books, no interruptions, no transgressions, no misspelled words, no contradictory statements by all these people. Is it any wonder that I, who is nothing more than just me, love the Bible? Where is it any book that's written over so many years by great people, by poor people, by rich people, by sheepherders, a priest, a prophet, musicians, philosophers, how could they come together and write the Bible? Well, it says in one day, we're getting to much later, that the men of God that wrote the Bible they give a picture of a sail. You know, it's a Greek, written in Greek and Hebrew, but it's a picture of a man with a picture of a man in a sailboat, and the wind is blowing, and it's blowing from the back of the man to the man, and the man is sailed across the ocean. Now, the word you read isn't like that, but when you study the Greek, you'll find out these men were moved by God because He created a sail. He created what He wanted them to write, but they wrote in the language that they understood. If they were prophetic, wrote in prophecy. But they wrote in the language that that they knew. When Ezekiel was still on the riverbank and he saw this chariot come down, I was witness to a guy one day, and he said, Gene, I'm going to use his exact words. I tried to behave with his words, but he said, God Almighty, could you see the way he came down? He said, big thing, and he said, it had a wheel and had wings and had animal faces. And he described it, and he said, it was one heck of a helicopter. But anyway, that's the language that they wrote in. And they described what they saw using their language as their intellect. But here were 40 different people over a period of 1,500 years. And it's a real book. It's the test of time. Do you know any book that has been written that did like the Bible? Millions of copies have been read. Millions of copies have been printed. In the 15th century, when the printing press was invented, people of all nationalities of the world begin to read the Bible. And that's where it starts today. And that's the reason that I love to read the Bible in its context. The book of Ruth is a phenomenal book. There's all kinds of stories about this. Not about Ruth, but about the Bible. And when you do numbers and pick numbers out of the Bible, you'll find that 666 is mentioned 40 years and 40 days. You ever thought about the 40 years and 40 days? During the flood, it rained for 40 days. Moses fled at age 40. Miriam for 40 years. It was on Mount Sinai for 40 days. Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Spies spent 40 days in Canaan. Elijah fasted for 40 days. Men was given 40 days to forgive. Jesus was raised, fasted 40 days. 40 days after the resurrection. So forth. All kinds of funny stuff can happen in the Bible, but it's all real. You can't keep finding the errors in it. Try to find errors in it. Well, let's go to Ruth. Who in the world is Ruth? I like to describe Ruth as a young lady. Lovely young, lovely story of a lovely woman. The Bible is after my own heart. I love women. I love lonely women. Lovely women. She says to Naomi, that's her mother-in-law, you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. Your God, important here, will be my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. Boaz, her husband, Ruth's husband, and she became his wife. She gave birth to a son, and the son's name was Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. So the great-grandmother was great-grandmother who belonged to David. The story of a young lady follows like the calm after the storm. They went through the trials and tribulations of entering the promised land, Joshua, many fights and awarded to them. 1,000 years before Abraham was called by God and founded the nation, the purpose of one day beginning to a savior to mankind. Is this small book of Ruth? We have the founding of a family within that nation. And Ruth bears out. Listen, there was a famine in the land. Ruth was not part of the famine. Let me turn to Ruth. Anyway, my computer had messed up. Well, anyway, Ruth became known to Naomi as a mother-in-law. Naomi had two sons and a husband. There's a great famine in the land, which is common. It's common now in that area of life, or in that area of life. Naomi had a husband, Abimelech, two sons, and they walked down the road. There was no transportation, you guys. You got to realize it went through the rest. There was no transportation except walking. And the horses, but not the Naomi and her tribe. They came to Moab. By the way, Moab, who is Moab? Moab was a descendant of Lot, L-O-T. It was Abraham's nephew. He fled up into the mountains to escape the great tribulation of the era. He had two daughters, and the daughters went with him. The daughters pondered among themselves and said, you know, we don't have any children. We can't have any children. They thought the world had been destroyed. It was destroyed, but the cities were destroyed. So they made love to their father. And from that came Moab. And God absolutely despised Moab. In fact, he forbade the children of Israel to go in contact with the Moab. And they were forbidden to. But here was Naomi and her husband and two sons. They traveled down to Moab, which didn't have a famine. And they formed a house and lived in this house. And the two sons married two Moabite women. I remember now, it's against the law. It's not the law. So they stayed in Moab. And Naomi, the mother, her husband died. Now she's had no husband, but she has two sons and two daughters-in-law. And they live happily ever after. Did they? No, not really. It was 10 years after they were there. Both sons died. You know, lifespan in that time of year was shortened. They died. Now she had two daughters-in-law. She looked and she said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I have my daughter-in-laws. I know what I'll do. I'll go back to Israel. Go back to Benjamin. That's where the tribe is from. She came back to Benjamin. And she told the two daughters. This to me is horrible. But she told her daughter, said, listen, you've been kind to me and a gracious daughter-in-law. But I'm going back home. My state is back home. And I want you to go to your fathers and your mother and live there with them because I can't get another husband. I'm old. And Ruth and her sister cried. They said, oh, we got to stay with you, Naomi. So Naomi pleaded with them, told them to go home. They chose not to do so, but Naomi insisted. Finally, Ruth said, and I already said this before, she looked at Naomi, and she loved her. She loved Naomi. She said, where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. Your God, my God. What you do, I will die. And there I will be buried. What you call devotion. And that's the reason, one of the reasons I love the Bible. Because it shows human emotion. A lovely girl, a lovely woman, she chose not to go back to her people and serve their God, but devoted her life to God. You know, that's what we all have to do. I don't know whether your eyes are not, but this world is full of people. Some don't believe. Some do believe. Some believe a little bit. But, you know, one day we'll all be with God. One day God's going to judge this world with death and life. And I love God because of that. He is righteous and he is justice. Family from Bethlehem, Elimelech and Naomi and their two sons. Two sons had died. The father died. And Naomi said, well, I got to go back to my land. You must understand that land in Naomi's time, in Ruth and Boaz's time, were staked out. They each had a place in this world that they were given this land by Joshua, and they defended this land. They overthrew the enemies. And there was Naomi and her daughter-in-law, Ruth, trudging down the road with all her belongings, headed back to Bethlehem. She arrived in Bethlehem. She told her, Naomi told Ruth, said, you know, I want you to go find some work. We have to eat. She said, go find a person that you can glean the fields behind the reapers, meaning she went behind and gathered grain. And there she was, day after day after day, gathering grain. She liked it. We all have to work. Don't have to work? Sure you do. If you want to live, you work. You know me? I mean, Ruth was gathering grain. The owner of the field they were reaping in was owned by Boaz. Remember that name, Boaz. He looked out across the field and saw all his men reaping grain and women behind them picking up the scraps. And Ruth was part of that crowd. Now, remember I said that she was a lovely lady? Boaz said to her, to his foreman, he said, hey man, who's that lady? That we don't know her. Who is he? Oh sir, that's Ruth. She's gathering grain. Ruth, my goodness, is she good looking. What in the world is she doing? Anyway, they took a break. All reapers came in. Ruth came in with them and sitting respectfully behind everybody. And Boaz walked over, sat down on the bench beside her, said, who are you? She said, my name is Ruth. Oh, you're the lady that came back with Naomi. Are you taking care of her, aren't you? She said, we're doing the best we can do. She didn't quite read. And Ruth said, I'm just gathering grain. So we'll have something to eat. And you know what? Boaz is impressed. Not so much with her, but because of her beauty. Boaz said, you know, you're a noble character. We appreciate what you're doing. We appreciate you looking after Naomi. And she said, I'm going to die where she dies. I'll be buried where she's buried. And you know what, Boaz, Mr. Boaz? I'm going to take care of her because that's what I promised her. Anyway, like I said, Boaz took a great deal of empathy toward her. And they started out. And Boaz told all the people with him and the reapers and the men. By the way, it was really dangerous that she was doing because at that time there were rapists as they are today. People that killed as they are today. Nobody was really safe. There was no police. She could dial 911 because there was no 911. There was no telephone. She told all the people, she said, see that lady right there, Ruth? Yep. Let her alone. Don't touch her. And every day she'd go to the field and she'd reap. And every day Boaz would come and look at her. She must have been good looking at night. But anyway, if she'd take back green from the field, Naomi was just could not believe what Boaz had given her. Boaz told her, Reuben said, you know, slip some full stalk behind, leave them behind so Ruth can pick it up. When the reaping season was over, and they go into the threshing floor, Naomi told Ruth, said, I want you to do me a favor. Put on your best smelling sauce, your nicest clothes, fix your hair. You gotta love the head of hair, honey. So fix your hair and go to the green floor. Boaz, but not meet him, but be there. Don't let him, but don't let Noah, I mean, don't let Boaz see you at the, in threshing floor. She put her best smelling sauce on. I don't know what it was. But anyway, she put it on, fixed her hair, fixed her eyes. She was stunning looking. And she went to the threshing floor. And there was Boaz, as happy as a lark, because they had done good. She slipped in, did not let Boaz know where she was. Boaz got to eating and drinking. After he had drank so much, you know, like most people, he got kind of sleepy and went down to the far corner of the other area. And he lay down full because he had eaten all night, drinking all night, and he was happy. And he had drifted off to sleep. Ruth saw that he was asleep. The men around the threshing floor were asleep. And she slipped down to Boaz's area. She uncovered his feet. This is, I'm talking about an Eastern ceremony of marriage. She took Boaz's garment. She uncovered his feet. And she laid down beside Boaz at his feet, which is a question of where they did things. Boaz slept for a long time. He felt the movement down at his feet, and he looked down. He said, "Who the heck are you?" She said, "I'm Ruth." Oh God! He just fell back. He could not believe it. His luck. She said, "I'm here to be redeemed by you, if you would have me." And Boaz said, "Golly, I can't believe my luck." But he said to her, listen, I'm not your closest redeemer. Remember this. I love to go into it, but I don't have time. A redeemer would redeem the land and keep the bloodlines alive. But Boaz was not the closest redeemer. There was another man closer than him. He looked at her and he said, honey, I love to do it, but I can't do it. It's against the law. Said, I'm going tomorrow and find out who your closest redeemer is, and he doesn't redeem you, then it would be my turn. I know that most people don't like that romanticism, but that's the way it was. He gave her a bunch of grains to write, and she left before anyone got up that day, and she went back to Naomi. Naomi says, if God is in the thing, you'll be okay. They went on back. He went on back and He went on back and he was not the closest redeemer. It's one thing. He told the redeemer, said, Naomi wants to sell her land. And the redeemer said, well, I'll buy it. And Boaz said, well, you know, once you do that, you got to take Ruth because the land belongs to Ruth and her husband. And the guy said, hey, I can't even do it then because I don't want to confuse my bloodlines. So Boaz said, well, I'll take her then. They have a funny way of showing ownership. And all the witnesses there. So the guy guy took off his shoe. What's that got to do with it? Well, it was a custom. And the people said, we understand. You now have Ruth as your servant and your wife if you want to marry her. Boaz married Ruth, and they had a son. And Naomi named the son Obed. And Obed, the next line up was founded, and from that came King David. And there was a Ruth, a Moabite woman, and many, many different types of women, many, many different types of nationalities was tied up in under Ruth. And they had David, and they became man after God's own heart. You know, folks, I don't know who I'm talking to, but if I had one prayer in my life, it would be not to have the sins of David. He must have had a good time, by the way. But to be a man after God's own heart, and that's what I claim today, is I want to be a man after God's own heart. So in Ruth ended, more of the story, there's 66 books written by many, many different authors. And not one conflict can be found in the Bible. If I had a group of people sitting in this room right now, and I wish we had one to hear a story, by the time it reached back to me, the story would be changed. Still not the Bible. And that's the reason I love the Bible. I try to teach T to understand the Bible and study it. She's done a good job. And I love her for it. But I love God more than anything. And that is the story of Ruth, a lovely young lady, a Moabite, who got tied into our system. And our system became Christ, became God. And God was the founder of everything. See, that's it. You got any questions?
Yes. So, okay, let me go back. So the Moabites, God didn't like them? Did I get that right? Or did I misunderstand that? I'm saying that God didn't like them, so I'm being very basic. So explain that part to me again. Or to not only to me, in the video.
God didn't like them because they were born in sin.
Okay, when they're sex with the dad, right?
Going back a long way, the Moabites became a tribe when Lot's daughters, one of the daughters had a son. She named him Moabite. So God didn't like it. They were founded in sin, and they sinned constantly. They were a tribe that God didn't like. God chooses who he likes and doesn't like. He didn't like Moab. And the tribes of Moab were forbidden, or Israel was forbidden, to cohabit with Moab.
Okay. All right. So God didn't care for him too much, but that's as a tribe. But Ruth was from the tribe of Moab. I hope I'm saying that right. Okay. So God loved her, right? Because she took did I get this right? Did she took Naomi's people and Naomi's God, right? So she goes, your people are my people. Okay. So he's condemning a tribe. I don't know if that's the right word to use, but he loved Ruth because of her heart and what she said, kind of, maybe, sort of.
He loved Ruth because as an individual, she's used to go with Naomi and serve Naomi's God. But most people don't understand this about Naomi. Naomi said, go back to your God. It doesn't sound much like what we have today, but she said, they said, go back to your God and your family because I can't have another husband. And no one will wait on me as a husband to have a son and to wait on them to grow up to be married. So it was logical. Naomi said, go back to your God. Don't worship my God. And Naomi said, Or Ruth said to Naomi, your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die. That's called devotion. Most people don't understand that.
Okay, I hear you. So I have one more question, maybe two, but I'll ask this one first, right? So that's cool that what God said. And so this is something that I get a lot, you know, in the coaching work that I do, Dad and you, and I've talked to you about it. People, so it's about having faith, right? So she, you know, and so Boaz liked how she looked, right? That's really what attracted to him. He thought she was a beautiful soul or woman or both, because, you know, we're souls having experiences here and everything. So he thought she was a beautiful woman. That's what got him, right? Did you say
yep,
that correct?
That's what.
Okay.
That's what's lazy.
All right.
She
so
was,
here's another
he was,
question. He was smitten with her because of the way she looked. That's, you know, and which is true today. You know, people, all looks don't matter. That's just BS, because they do, you know, I think, right? And, you know, I feel that looks matter. Not to the point of, you know, whatever, but you got to look the best, look good, the best that you can be, the best version of yourself. That's what Ruth did. Now she had natural beauty, but you know, she knew how to take care of herself, and you and so Boaz noticed that, and he fell for her. He fell for her looks and on the outside, and then he got to know her, and she slept at his feet, right? Am I getting this right? And then he
yep.
connected with her, and he connected with her, and they became one. Because they married with the marriage bed.
Yep.
Okay.
You're right.
All right. So let me ask you this, okay? Because I Dad, I know you get this too. You and I do different things, but we do the same too. That is the first soulmate relationship, right? I mean, those two, if you want to call it soulmates, lovers, husband and wife, whatever. And that's the courtship of Ruth and Boaz. Is that right?
That was a courtship, but not the first, of course. It was a courtship of Ruth and Boaz.
Right.
Many courtships.
Okay, I get Sarah. You. But that was. Yeah, but
Sarah
I'm asking
was,
you this. Now, I hear you, all of that. But Ruth and Boaz were that was a courtship, the way they did it at that time, that period in time, right? That was, is that
yes.
like a normal courtship?
That is true. It's a courtship of the time.
Okay, and that's a normal courtship, like whatever it is, you know, whatever we have today or, you know, whatever. Okay, and so here's another question for you. So, you know, Naomi says, hey, I can't bear children. I can't get married again and whatever. So Ruth, so there's a faith thing there. Who had the most faith and just trusted? Was it Naomi? Was it Ruth? Was it Boaz? Or was it everybody on some level? Can you answer
obviously,
that?
Obviously, it was Ruth.
Okay.
That's the reason this book is called Ruth. She had greater
right.
love and greater devotion and greater everything. She's not only a good-looking woman with beautiful eyes and her body and everything else, but she was also a devoted lady, and she had great faith. But she loved Naomi, her mother-in-law.
Oh, that's cool. I love that part. So here's another question. So if Boaz could have... Did he do the right thing? Was that integrity on his part by going to the other guy, the other dude there, and saying, hey?
Well, it was not, it's not so much his integrity, but that was a law. And it's like,
okay.
You go before a justice of the peace or a preacher or whatever, a man authorized to wed, and you get wed or get married.
Okay.
He followed the law. Every man that came into the promised land would stake out their properties. You were not allowed to move the property sticks, if you can. I'll use sticks as a term. But when they looked at the map and looked at the land, they were staked out. They were treated individually, and each tribe could never sell their land. If it did, they had to have permission to do it. So Boaz did the right thing. He went before the tribes and the witnesses. He petitioned the witnesses to authorize them by him buying the land because them, Ruth didn't have any wherewithal to buy it. Naomi, it was Naomi's land. And it was all agreed. It was done ethically.
Okay. That's what I'm asking. Now, here's the next question I'm asking. Okay. If Boaz had broken the law and didn't ask permission, what would have happened? Or if anything would have happened? Or do you know?
Well, there's the laws. There are laws to cover what would happen, would not happen. He followed the law, and it was authorized, and the sale was completed. If he had not followed the law, then there's a whole different emphasis here and a whole different form of justice, and he fell under that law of justice. But could he have laid and run off at the far end? Yeah, he could have done all the same. But can we do that today? Can you marry 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, 10, 15 women?
No, I can do that. Well, unless I go to Utah and then it's only women, I don't think it applies for men marrying two, you know what I mean? So, but yeah, okay, I get you. Thank you. All right. Because I was listening to that story.
Yeah.
So it's a great love story and it ends up well. So can I tell you what my takeaway is with this one, Dad, if it's okay? And I'm sure it is. My takeaway with this one is about having faith, living with, I call it integrity, following the law, God's law, right? And, God's law. And realizing that love, like soulmate, soul love, whatever you want to call it, has a process. And it looks like those two, that whole group, including Ruth, because she was the most important there in this situation, and the book's named after her, followed a great process and had a lot of gratefulness, also a lot of faith, and also devotion. Wow, she must have made a great wife, don't you think?
Not only that, she was a great wife, a great worker, a great lovely figure, and he was proud of her. Should we all be proud of our soulmate today?
Yeah, there you go.
They were after God's own heart. And from that, King David. That's a character in itself, King David.
That's right. Someday you're going to talk about him, I'm sure. So thank you. I appreciate you letting me ask those questions. And I want to go out and find my Boaz. Okay, he's probably true and ethical.
Boaz.
I'm going to go out and find my Boaz daddy. Okay. So anyway, thank you. Great show today. And I'm sure everyone will enjoy it. And thank you for sharing and being so open and straightforward with me. I appreciate it because that's who you are with me anyway. And that's who you are with everybody. So thanks, Dad. Do you have anything else?
No, I don't have a thing except love God with all your heart. And be ready to follow him because he's exciting. God is exciting. God knows everything. But what gets me about this is 1,500 years by 4 different people, and they wrote about the same thing. Never inconsistency. Always perfect. Always correct. They can't find fault in the Bible. The only fault we find is in ourselves when we don't believe. I love him. You got a great testimony in the sense of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, Mr. Holy.
Mr. Holy, there you go. Right?
Yep, and thanks. Mr. Holy will come and talk.
He's our buddy. Anyway, thanks. I love Mr. Holy. Right? I love God. They're my buddies. You know, I said this morning, Dad, and I listened to you, and you've been such a great teacher all my life. And I didn't really get that until much later. But I said, you guys are my friends. You got my back. And I said, if there's anything that I can do with you, because I'm not only the friend that enjoys and takes or you share with me, but I want to give back. So if you let me know, I'll help you any way I can. So anyway, and they, you know what they told me this morning? It's just amazing. They said, just be good and serve me, serve God. And he goes, I'm your friend too. I'm like, yay, my buddy. All of them are. Well, there's only one God, right? But the Siamese triplets, so they got you back, right? So thank you, Dad.
Yep.
Appreciate it.
No problem, but I appreciate the fact that you serve God.
Just serve
There's
God.
There's no other creation like God. He'll answer your prayers. He'll take care of you. I do a daily devotion. I try to do a daily devotion every day. Some days I go a couple of days without it, but I try to do a daily devotion. And it's all about God, what he can do for you and what you can do for him.
That's right, because I told somebody today, I have to tell you this, and I told somebody today, I said, you are always asking and from God, and I get it, but what can you do for God? I said, we're always taking, what can we give, right? That's a big thing, don't you think?
That's what I think.
Good.
That's what you think.
I do.
True.
Yeah. Anyway, I should be quiet. Thank you for your lesson today. I appreciate it, Dad. Thank you so very much. And you're the best. And I need to say this. My father knows so much about the Bible. And he and I have a lot of talks about it. And I ask him a lot of questions. I got more to ask him tonight. So anyway, but we'll be on here forever if I keep on talking. So thank you, Dad. I'll be quiet now. And you want to close the show? And thank you for letting me speak up.
All right, God, listen to you. I appreciate you. I love you. Well, I'm bound to love you. No, not only that. You are smart, intelligent, and I love you for it. But I love your beauty. I love your wisdom. Keep serving God.
You bet.
See you next week.
All right. Bye, everybody. All right, Daddy. Thanks.
Bye.